Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
We thank you, Father, tonight. We bless your name. Be magnified in this place, in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say amen. Say another amen. Say a louder amen. Say a humongous amen. And put your hands together for Jesus tonight. All right. God bless you. You may be seated, please. And turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're reading from verse 1 to verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 1 to 3. It says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. He continues and says, I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Can we read verse 3 together? Ready, go. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place, heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Hallelujah. And last Wednesday, I started sharing with you on the topic, assessing the full benefits of our salvation. Amen. Assessing the full benefits of our salvation. When the Bible talks about us being united with Christ, it's a way of describing our salvation. And every child of God must understand that our salvation is a gift from God. The Bible says that by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. But this special gift called salvation is a fully loaded gift. It has so many blessings associated with them. And it is these blessings that the scripture we just read in Ephesians chapter 1, particularly verse 3, is trying to get us to understand that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It is God who has blessed us, and God is the source of every good thing, and He has blessed us. And we must appreciate that the scripture didn't say that He will bless us. It says He has blessed us. And what that means is that it is something that He has already done. We have already been blessed. Tell your neighbor that God has already blessed you. He is not now going to bless you. And tell the person, you are blessed. Tell the person again, you are blessed. Tell the person, you don't look like you believe it, but you are blessed. And tell the person, whether you believe it or not, you are blessed. I see the blessings of the Lord on your life. In Jesus' name. Give Jesus a hand clap, everyone. And I shared with you what we really mean by spiritual blessings. You know, because it's important to understand it. What does the Bible mean by God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings? And note also that it says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Not just some, not just a few, not just a portion, not just a section. But he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And you had better believe it when the Bible tells you so. So these spiritual blessings are benefits from God. And a benefit is something that is advantageous or something that is good. Amen. So spiritual blessings are benefits from God. Number two, spiritual blessings are the intangible, invisible, and powerful blessings of God, which are received through the Holy Spirit and are meant to impact every area of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. I said amen. Amen. So these are what spiritual blessings are. They are intangible. When we say that something is intangible, I explain to you, it means you can't touch it. All right? And spiritual blessings are not things that you can touch or physically handle. But understand that the fact that you cannot touch something, the fact that you cannot see something with your physical eyes, does not mean that it does not exist. And I like to explain to you that you've never seen your heart before. Have you seen your liver before? Have you seen your spleen before? How do you even know that you have a kidney? All right? Yet you believe that you have all these things and they are intact in your body. So never ever let me hear you say that I haven't seen this thing with my naked eye, so I don't believe in it. There are many things you have not seen, yet you believed. And the Bible says, though we've not seen him, yet we love him. So, you see, spiritual blessings are intangible and they are invisible. That means we cannot see them with our naked eyes, but they are real and they are powerful blessings from God. And the one who makes these spiritual blessings available to us is the Holy Spirit. And all these spiritual blessings are intended to impart our lives. Now, you have spelled impact, which is very different from impart. So, will you kindly remove the C in that impact and make it an R? Hallelujah. Because if you say impact, it almost sounds like these blessings are coming to knock you down and create problems for you. But that's not the intention of it. God has made these spiritual blessings available to us to impart our lives. That means to bring us to a place of advantage and to influence us in a positive way. Amen. And then spiritual blessings, I said to you also, are the riches of God that are given to us through our union with Christ. We are united with Christ. When we became born again, we became united with him. And that is why we are part of the body of Christ. Christ is the head of this body. And the body is attached to the head. And the head and the body are united. They are together. If you want to really understand how significant that union is, come and let me cut off your head and see whether you'll be okay. You will not be okay because your head and your body are connected. So we are united with Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. And these spiritual blessings are the riches of God that is made available to us through our union with Christ. They are intended to cause us to flourish and to do well in our Christian experience. How many would like to flourish as a child of God? What does it mean to flourish? To do well. What else does it mean? To excel. All right? To prosper. To blossom. To progress. So all these are connected to the word to flourish. And God makes these spiritual blessings available to us so that we can flourish and do well in this Christian experience whilst we are being prepared for eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. Then I also explained to us that spiritual blessings are not material blessings. Spiritual blessings are not material blessings. Remember that I explained that spiritual blessings are intangible and invisible. Now, material blessings are tangible. You can touch them, you can handle them, you can see them, and they are very visible. So do not equate material blessings to spiritual blessings. So there are material blessings like houses, money, cars, and all of that. But the thing is this. Through the spiritual blessings, you can or you may actually enjoy these physical blessings. Through the spiritual blessings, you can now begin to enjoy material or physical blessings. But don't ever think that these physical blessings equate spiritual blessings, because they don't. Which is why you really have to be careful, you know, about what you call a blessing. The Bible says that the blessings of the Lord, they make rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. If you get to a place in your life where you only see material and physical things as blessings, you are setting yourself up for a major disappointment. All right? There are more to blessings than just these physical things. There are people who have a lot of material blessings, but they are not happy in this life. You know, there was a king called Midas. And one day he was given an opportunity to ask for any blessing. And he asked that anything that he touches should turn into gold. You may have heard that term before, the Midas touch. All right? It came from this story. So his wish was granted. And so everything that he touched turned into gold. And was very thrilled and excited. He touched his glass, it turned to gold. He touched his fork, it turned into gold. He touched the flowers, they turned into gold. And was enjoying himself. And he went everywhere he went. And as you do this, take it! And then it turns to gold. Take it! Receive it! And then it turns into gold. I was very happy. And then something unfortunate happened. His beautiful, precious little girl came to him and hugged him and touched him. And she also turned into gold. And that is when he realized that, Charlie, this turn into gold thing, it is not really what I want in life. You know. So you see, understand that there are more to blessings than material or physical things. And you really have to be very careful. Don't get to a place in your life where you feel that because I don't have a car, I don't have a house, I don't have a job, I don't have a husband, I don't have a child, it means that God has shortchanged me, that God has not blessed me. Don't think that way at all. Now, I know and I believe and I feel very strongly about it, that as part of the blessings of God upon our lives, there are certain good things that we will enjoy, physical things, material things. I mean, I don't think that God has done me bad ever since I came to him. There are physical and material blessings that I can point to in my life. But I have gotten to a place of understanding that when we talk about spiritual blessings, they are more than material blessings. Hallelujah. And they are of a higher caliber and of a higher level than, you know, material blessings. But understand that through these spiritual blessings, so for example, through the spiritual blessing of wisdom, the spiritual blessing of knowledge, the spiritual blessing of understanding, you can prosper physically. Amen. I said amen. That's why one of the things that you need to pray for in your life is for wisdom. Because wisdom will show you the way to go and the steps you need to take and the things you have to do in order to prosper and flourish in this life. May I be quick to add that God is not against you having material blessings. Because when we talk in a certain way, it's easy for you to extrapolate and conclude and say that what the pastor is saying is that God has a problem with us having material blessings. No. As a matter of fact, if you look at many of the people, the patriarchs, you know, and some of these people that we read about, particularly in the Old Testament, you see that God blessed them mightily. In fact, in the early church, the Bible says, when you read Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, that there was nobody in the church who had a need. Is that not a blessing? It's a very important blessing. One of the ways to know that you are prospered is that you don't have a need. That means that all your needs are taken care of. There are the needs and the wants. These are the things everybody is looking for in this life. Now, needs are, if you like, fundamental. They are basic. And if you are in a place in your life where you don't have a need, actually you are blessed. You are more blessed than you know. Because some of the basic things that you have in this life, there are many people in this world who don't have them. Yeah. So always learn to look at things from the right perspective. Amen. All right. So these are spiritual blessings. And I went on to try and show you some of these spiritual blessings. I've talked about wisdom, for example, but I talked to you about redemption. Redemption is a spiritual blessing that God has made available to us. The next one that we can talk about is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a spiritual blessing. Forgiveness is a spiritual blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. From the New Living Translation, it says, He, that is God, is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. And I will forgive their wickedness. And I will never again remember their sins. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. And this time, give me the New King James Version. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him. Then the next thing it says is, having forgiven you all your trespasses, all. How many of your trespasses did He forgive? All. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. Now, that means that He has wiped out or erased any charge that could have been leveled against us. He's erased them. Before Jesus came, every bad thing that you ever did was recorded and was available. The records were there. So there was a dossier which had your name on it, and it contained all your issues, and they were there, and they had been filed in the cabinets of heaven. All right? You know, and can you imagine that there's a record of every bad thing that you ever did? But the Bible says that Jesus Christ, by His great act of love in sacrificing Himself, has ensured that all our trespasses have been forgiven. They have not just been forgiven, but every record of it has been erased, has been wiped out. Your paper, all right? So God used the blood of Jesus on the duster, and then He wiped the thing. So there's no trace of it at all. And He says, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Family, all these scriptures are revealing one very important spiritual blessing that you and I have, which is forgiveness. How long ago did Jesus walk on the earth? More than 2,000 years ago. Is that not so? And I wouldn't him. It's more than 2,000 years ago. All right? Now, where were you 2,000 years ago? Your response should be, ah. All right? Certainly 2,000 years ago, you did not exist. Your parents did not exist. And all of that. But when Jesus died on the cross, what He did, the Bible says, is that He paid the price for us. So all our trespasses, all our sins were forgiven. Now, this is the intriguing thing and the amazing thing about it. And I want you to listen carefully to me. Jesus came 2,000 years ago and he died for us, and one of the benefits of his death is that our sins have been forgiven, and it happened more than 2,000 years ago. What it means is that he has already paid the price for your past sins, present sins, and even the future ones. That's what it means. That's what makes this forgiveness blessing so profound. Is it a license to go on doing bad things? No. But what the word of God is trying to get us to understand is that we've been blessed with a spiritual blessing of forgiveness, which is why any time that you miss it, you get it wrong. Anytime you realize that I have said, or I have thought, or I have imagined something, or I have had a bad motive and I've thought evil of somebody, and the Holy Spirit convicts you of it, what you must do is quickly run to the mercy seat of God. Tell him that, God, I missed it here. And as soon as you engage him on that, that spiritual blessing of forgiveness that was worked out for you more than 2,000 years ago is activated to your benefit. Amen. Again, I'm stressing that it doesn't mean, because the Bible says that should we continue to sin so that grace will abound? That's not what it is. And don't think in that way. But if you ever miss it, so that's why, again, the scripture says, if any man sins, Jesus Christ is his or her advocate. So that means appeal to him. Your advocate is your lawyer, the one who is always defending you or speaking on your behalf. And Jesus Christ not only paid the price for our sins, but he's also our lawyer in the courts of heaven. Whenever anything comes up in connection to us, because we received him as Lord and Savior, and we have given our lives to him, he stands to defend us. And his defense is a simple one. I've already paid the price. More than 2,000 years ago, I paid the price for this guy. He's doing a foolish thing, and I'm not happy with him that he's doing that. But I have already paid the price for him, so nobody can take him on again. So if the accuser of the brethren comes and is doing too known, you know, it just explains to him that, you can't come up. We don't want any double jeopardy thing here. I have already paid the price, and you cannot demand for another price to be paid. I've come to your shop, and I've come to buy an electric iron, and I have paid for it, and you gave me a receipt for the iron. Why have you come back to me again telling me that you are demanding another payment for it? I'm not going to give you any money at all. I'm not going to get even a peso from me, because I've already paid for that thing. So this thing called forgiveness is one of the spiritual blessings, amazing spiritual blessings that are yours. And you must understand these things, because if you don't understand and believe in them, you will play right into the hands of the devil, and he will always keep coming to you, accusing you all the time, leveling all kinds of charges against you. And you can end up living your Christian life under a burden of guilt, and it weakens you. Learn to speak back at the devil and tell him, be gone. I am overcoming you right now with the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Jesus Christ has paid the price for my sins. There are some people who are never able to forgive themselves for something bad that happened, and they live under a burden and a load of sin and guilt and shame and humiliation. But I want to say to you that by virtue of this spiritual blessing called forgiveness, you can put away every load of guilt and press on in your Christian walk, and trust that the word of God is true concerning you, that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins, and God has forgiven you all your sins. And he's added another dimension to it when he says, I will never again remember their sins. Hallelujah. Tell the person sitting by you, the bad thing that you did against me, God has forgiven you. Me too, I forgive you some. So you are forgiven. Put your hands together for Jesus. Number three, the third spiritual blessing. So I'm just running you through different spiritual blessings so that you will understand them. And listen, as your pastor, one of my assignments, my mission, my goal is to teach you things that will make you stand well as a Christian. Amen. It's to give you a certain foundation in the word of God that will help you to do well as a child of God. Because God wants you to do well. But if you don't know certain things, you will not do well. Have you heard this statement before? Knowledge is power. The things that you know empower you. And I want you to believe that you can stand strong and be stable and established as a Christian. And get to a place in your life where you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. To get to a place in your Christian life where you know so much about God, about his word, about his plans and purpose and intention for your life that nobody can hoodwink you. Nobody can trick you anymore. Hallelujah. That's why I teach the way I teach. And that's why I try to impart as much as I can. Because I believe that you can stand on your own just looking unto Jesus and live your Christian life and not be at a place in your life where people can just manipulate and exploit you and control you and do all sorts of things against you. Hallelujah. So don't resist it when knowledge and truth is being imparted to you. Hallelujah. Amen. The next spiritual blessing we can talk about, righteousness and sanctification. Righteousness and sanctification. These are spiritual blessings that God has made available to us. So when the Bible says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms, righteousness and sanctification are part of these spiritual blessings. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, for he made who? Jesus Christ. For he made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for us. So that what will happen? We might become the righteousness of God in him. Who him? In Jesus Christ. Alright, so all the hymns that you see here are referring to Jesus Christ. And this scripture is saying that you and I have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. To be righteous is to be made right. To be righteous means to be justified. To be righteous means that God doesn't have any problem with you. And I want you to understand that once you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, God doesn't have any problem with you. That's a fact of the matter. He wants you to be better than how you are. But it doesn't mean that he has a problem with you. Because he has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. So it's one of the spiritual blessings that is the portion of every child of God. Lift up your right hand and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes I don't feel it, but I am. Because the Bible says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at another scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, New Living Translation. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. And his Spirit has made you holy. His spirit has done what? Yeah. Now, it didn't say his spirit will make you holy. Again, it's in the past. And it happened when you received Jesus as Lord and Savior. You were made holy. That means you were sanctified. So sanctification is one of the spiritual blessings that is the portion of the people of God. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed. It's part of the sanctification thing. By the blood of Jesus Christ. So when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, something spiritual happens. The blood of Jesus is used to cleanse us, to cleanse you, and to sanctify you. Then it continues and says, may God give you more and more grace and peace. Because you've been sanctified. You've been made holy. Hallelujah. So there is holiness and sanctification that has been, you know, imputed to us through Christ Jesus. And when God looks at you and he sees you as holy. He sees you as sanctified. Because he's looking at you through the lens of the blood of Jesus, which is what purified you and made you holy in his sight. Of course, that holiness and sanctification, that righteousness that has been imputed to us, God is expecting that it will reflect in our physical lives, in our relationships, in how we conduct ourselves, in the way our minds work, in our attitudes. But it is there. It's in the inside of us. It came with our salvation. It is part of the spiritual blessings that are ours. So the fact that you may be struggling in certain things doesn't mean that you have not received the spiritual blessings of righteousness and sanctification. The problem is just that you have not arrived at the place where the righteousness and the sanctification is reflecting in what you do and in what you say. But it is still there and you have it. So these are part of the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. Another spiritual blessing we can talk about is the Holy Spirit living in us. It's a spiritual blessing. The Holy Spirit living in us. The Holy Spirit living in us. 1 John chapter 4 verse 13. 1 John chapter 4 verse 13. It says, and God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us as proof that God is living in us. And the Holy Spirit is in us. This was what Jesus make the disciples understand when he told them that I have to go away so that the Comforter will come. And he assured them that when he comes, he will live in you. So every child of God, anybody who is truly born again, has the Holy Spirit living in you. And that is a profound spiritual blessing because that is God himself in you. That's why we can say Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Christ is in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So it is a spiritual blessing. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14 from the New King James Version of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed. So this is referring to Jesus Christ. What does it say? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Every child of God has been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And being sealed with the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is that mark on you that indicates that you are a child of God. And he's supposed to lead you as you go through this life. So it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But because you are a child of God and you are born again and you are saved, one of the spiritual blessings that God has given to you is that he has placed his Spirit in the inside of you. Tell the person sitting by you, the Holy Spirit is inside you. And let your response be, eh. Yes, eh. He's inside you. He's in the inside of you. He's in the inside of your spirit. That's where he resides. But he's there, and if you cooperate with him and allow him, he will influence every other aspect of your life. Remember that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live inside a body. Because the Holy Spirit is spirit, he is in your spirit. But from there, he can influence your soul. That's your mind, your intellect, your will. He can influence them. And because he's in you, he can influence your body as well. The important thing is to recognize that you have that spiritual blessing of the Holy Spirit, and then develop your relationship and fellowship with him. There's something called the communion of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we share the grace, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. That's what we are talking about. If we are going to benefit immensely from the Holy Spirit, we ought to commune with him. We ought to fellowship with him. We ought to develop our relationship with him. That's when we will experience extraordinary blessings in our lives. And he's there to guide us and lead us as we go through this Christian life. But alas, most of us have not developed a certain intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And he's such a perfect gentleman that he will not force himself or impose himself on you. He needs you to invite him. He needs you to involve him. He needs you to ask him to participate in your life. It is then and only then that you begin to feel more of his influence over your life. But ladies and gentlemen, you have that spiritual blessing of the Holy Spirit. You have it. You may not feel it, but it doesn't change the truth of it. But if you press on and develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit, you become more conscious of his presence with you. And you begin to benefit more and more from his presence inside you and his presence with you. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit living in us is another of the spiritual blessings. The next one, number five, spiritual blessings, is our adoption into the family of God as sons and daughters. It is a spiritual blessing. We have been adopted into the family of God as sons and daughters. Amen. We've been adopted into the family of God as sons and daughters. It is a spiritual blessing. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5. All these are spiritual blessings. Remember that the Bible says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. What are these spiritual blessings? They are the things that I'm talking about. By all means, I cannot talk about all of them, but I've selected some very key, profound ones to share with you. And it is to help you to get a deep understanding of what you have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Right. We've been adopted into the family of God. Our adoption into the family of God as sons and daughters is another of the spiritual blessings. So in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5, it says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family, the family of God, by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It is something that God wanted to do. Saving you and bringing you into his kingdom is something that gave God great pleasure. It wasn't done reluctantly. It wasn't forced upon him. It's something he wanted to do, and it made him happy that you will be saved. Charlie, God loves us, oh. God loves us more than we can ever understand and comprehend. And that's why he wants to save every single person on the face of the earth. So understand that when you become born again, you receive a spiritual blessing of adoption. Now, when you are adopted, you are brought in to become part of something. And we've been adopted into God's own family. Then in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children." And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. So over here, we are being referred to as God's children. We've been adopted and we are God's children. And this is a spiritual blessing. You must understand that there was a time before Christ came when God had the nation of Israel as his special people. The rest of us who were not Jews were not part of this special people of God. All right? So we're Ghanaians. As Ghanaians, we were not part, except those who come from Ghana. Because I hear Ghana people are from where? Yes. I mean, I don't know how true it is. Are you really from Israel? Interesting. Anyway, so the world was divided into Jews and Gentiles. That's how it was some time ago. And God's special people were the nation of Israel. And Gentiles were not part of that. But then through Jesus Christ, God has engrafted Gentiles, which is you and I, into that special group of people called the people of God. And so you can confidently say that I'm part of the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, the peculiar people. When you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, no matter who you were before, where you came from and everything, you were immediately included into the family of God, God's special people. And it's an adoption. And he gives you the benefits and the rights that are due to the children of the house. So you are a son of God. You are the daughter of God. And it's a spiritual blessing. And don't treat it lightly. Don't discard it. Don't sell your birthright. You are a child of God. We are nyameba. Oh, papa, eyehini. We are this year. You are a child of God. And you've been adopted. Hallelujah. Now, I have people in my life who are like my sons and daughters. Now, because that thing has been so much abused, sometimes I even hesitate to say these things because it's been too abused. This spiritual father thing. You see, so it exists too. That thing is there. There's a relationship that you can have with somebody where that person is your spiritual father and your spiritual mother. It's a very, very important thing. But I'm saying to you that it is something that is that when it is not handled properly becomes a tool of manipulation and exploitation. So there are lots of excesses that have occurred. But of course, we also have to be careful that we don't throw the baby away with the bath water. Because sometimes that's our problem. We see a situation, and in trying to deal with the situation, we move to another extreme. So we like the extremes too much, but we have to learn to stay on a certain path and stay on a certain course. Hallelujah. So I'll just explain that there are people that I have a certain kind of relationship with. I didn't give birth to them. If you are looking for the children that I gave birth to, did I give birth to them? Yes. Did I give birth to them? Eh? Mommy is the one who gave birth to them. Hey! It's okay. I'll take it like that. Are you aware that without me, they couldn't have come? Yes. So I gave birth to them. One is behind the camera. The other is in school. So these are my biological children. They have my seed in them. They came from my loins. Amen. But there are other people that I relate with and have a special relationship with them. They are not my biological children, but I see them as my children also. And I love them. And there's so much that I will do for them. And if they have a situation and a problem, how I will respond will be like how I'll respond if my own biological children have those situations. There are people, when I'm with them and I go anywhere with them, when I'm introducing them, even though they are not my biological children, I'll say that this is my son. And I tell you, that thing, I don't say it easily. I don't say it easily at all. Some of my colleagues in the ministry, everybody is their son and daughter. Everybody is like, my son, my daughter, my son, my daughter. Oh, it's too much. It's too much, you know. But it's real. It is there. So you can have that. You can have that kind of arrangement where you can be adopted and you become a son and a daughter. Look, there are some people who, in their will, have left a lot of money and inheritance to people who are not like their biological children, but they saw them as their sons and their daughters. Hallelujah. So you must understand that one of your spiritual blessings is that you are the son of God and you are the daughter of God and you have been adopted into the family of God. It means that you have rights and privileges. So don't let the devil rob you of your inheritance. You are a son. You are a daughter. You are not a slave. You are not a bastard. You are the child of God. Oh, I pray that we will really understand this, so that we can conduct ourselves properly as sons and daughters. Because if you see yourself as a slave or as a servant, you know, you can end up just acting any way, anyhow, behaving any way, anyhow. But when you understand that you are the son of God, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it is supposed to stir up something in you and help you to operate and maneuver in a certain way. So one of our spiritual blessings is that we've been adopted into the family of God. And we are sons and daughters. So that was number what? That was number five. Let's run through the spiritual blessings again. The first one that I've shared with you is what? Our redemption is a spiritual blessing. The next one, forgiveness. We've been forgiven. It's a spiritual blessing. Number three, righteousness and its sanctification. Not sanctification. Righteousness and sanctification. That's number three. Number four, the Holy Spirit living inside us is a spiritual blessing. And the fifth one that I shared with you is our adoption into the family of God as sons and daughters. How many are glad that God has showered us with spiritual blessings? Lift up your hand again and say, I'm blessed. I am blessed. Say, I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. So I've shared with you five of them. Tell the person sitting by you, only three of the five. So now you can explain to somebody what spiritual blessings are. Is that not so? Wonderful. It's a great thing. Father, we thank you tonight. We are grateful to you for your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap, everyone. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.